This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're listening to Ramadan Reflections by Mufti Hussein Kamani. This summer, Mufti Hussein will be teaching the Hadith Intensive. Students will study the different methods of compilation and preservation of a Hadith, the major role female scholars have played in Hadith preservation, the biography of famous Hadith narrators, as well as different Ahadith collections and excerpts from famous Hadith texts like Sahih al-Bukhari. For more information, visit hadithintensive.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Khususan ala sayyidi rusuli wa khatam al-anbiya wa ala alihi al-askiya wa ashabihi al-atqiya amma ba'd. The great sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, who narrates the most ahadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was a companion who participated side by side with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in some of the battles as well, a very close student of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from amongst the Ashab al-Suffa, these were people who dedicated their life to studying the deen. They lived right outside the masjid. There was a little area where a group of them would live. They didn't have enough food to even provide for themselves because they dedicated their day and night to studying the deen. And it was the Muslims of the community who would come and provide for them, give them some food that they had, or whatever they gained from their farms, they would come and give them something too. So this Sahabi Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he was on his deathbed and he was crying. One of his companions who was nearby, he asked him, "Why are you crying? Ma yubkik?" So he said, "Ama inni la abki ala dunyakum hadihi. I am not crying, as some of you may think, because I fear leaving this world, or because I have some sort of a regret that there was some pleasure of this world I wish I had accomplished or achieved, or maybe there was something that I gained in this world and I'm too fearful to part from that or to leave that. I'm not crying because of any worldly loss of mine." He said, "Walakin abki ala bu'di safari wa qillati zadi. I'm crying because the journey ahead of me now is very far, and I have prepared very little for this journey." Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is making this statement on his deathbed. The journey after death is so far, I have so far to go ahead of me, and what I have prepared for this journey is so little. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu kept crying, and he said, "وَإِنِّي أَمْسَيْتُ فِي سُعُودَ عَلَى جَنَّةِ أَوْ نَارٍ لَا أَدْرِي إِلَى أَيَّتِهِمَا يُؤْخَذُ بِي." He said that the journey ahead of me is very far. Tomorrow I'll be standing in front of the fire of hell, I'll be standing in front of Jannah, and I'm not sure which one of those two will take me. Whether I'll be honored to enter into Jannah, or whether I'll be punished and sent to the fire of hell. When we read these ahadith and stories like this from the Sahaba, it reminds us of how these people were always on their toes and concerned what would be their outcome in the hereafter. They were concerned about standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu's story is a very famous one. His servant Hani narrates it, that once I was with Uthman radiallahu anhu, and I saw him sit at a grave. And as he sat at the grave, he started crying, and he cried and cried and cried. He cried so much. So Hani said to Uthman bin Affan, "تَذْكُرُ الْجَنَّةَ وَالنَّارَ وَلَا تَبْكِي." You think of Jannah, you think of the fire of hell, or you're reminded of Jannah and the fire of hell, but you don't cry when Jannah and Jahannam are mentioned. But when you sit at the grave, you cry so much that his entire beard was soaked in tears. So Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu responded back by saying that, "Indeed I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that the grave is the first stage of the stages of the hereafter. Whoever is successful in the grave will find everything after that easy. And whoever gets caught here will find everything after that easy." And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I have never seen a horrific scene and as difficult as a stage that a human being will cross as the grave actually is." People who reflected, people who were concerned. The ayah of the Quran in Surah Najm was revealed, "أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ تَعْجَبُونَ وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ." أَفَمِنْ هَذَا الْحَدِيثَ, that with this discussion, meaning the Qur'an, with this hadith, with this discussion, تَعْجِبُونَ, are you in amazement? Meaning, are you in denial of what Allah is saying in the Qur'an? وَتَضْحَكُونَ وَلَا تَبْكُونَ, and you laugh, and there aren't tears that come to your eyes after you hear about the nations that came before? وأنه أهلك عادا الأولى وثمود فما أبقى وقوم نوح من قبل. As Allah talks about in Surah Najm, the nations that were destroyed before, you read about them and somehow you think that you're different than them. You aren't worried about destruction. You've become the very same people they were, who were in contentment that we will never be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came. You hear about their stories and you're still in so much content. And you laugh away and joke your life through as if there's nothing to be worried about. وَلَا تَبْكُونَ And tears don't come out of your eyes. When this ayah was recited, the sahaba, they say, the ashab al-suffa who were in the gathering, they all started crying. And they cried so profusely. That جَرَّ دُمُعُهُمْ عَلَىٰ خُدُودِهِمْ Their cheeks were wet in tears. They cried so much. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard them crying. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alaihi wasallam بَكَى مَعَهُمْ وَبَكَيْنَا بِبُكَائِهِ The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he heard they were crying, he started crying too. And the Sahaba, they said that when we saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam crying, tears came out of our eyes. It was a domino effect. A group of the Ashab al-Suffa realized that they shouldn't be where they were spiritually at the time, and they should have been crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as they heard these ayat of the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his beloved Sahaba, the Ashab al-Suffa, who gave everything for the deen. They were in tears. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started crying too. And the Sahaba sitting around said, if the Messenger of Allah is in tears after hearing these ayat of the Quran, how can our eyes remain dry? And they also joined the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam crying. As the group was sitting together, and again this narration is narrated by Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullahi alayhi in the Shu'ab al-Iman, and Imam Suyuti also narrates it, Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi and others also narrate this hadith. They say after everyone in the gathering was crying, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, the person who cries out of the fear of Allah will never enter into the fire of hell. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and a person who is persistent with disobeying Allah, musir al-masiya, a person who's persistent in disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la yadkhulul jannah. That person will not enter into paradise. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to the companions, and if you did not sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would remove you and bring a nation that did sin. Because when they would sin, they would then repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as that they would reflect over their own sins and their flaws and their weaknesses and how many times they fell down, it would bring tears to their eyes. We've been talking about this for so many days, and I've been encouraging this crowd. I've been encouraging myself. That has a time not come for our hearts to go soft now? Has a time not come that we make this a concern? Has a time not come that we think and ask ourselves, how long will this drought remain in our eyes, and how long will our hearts be rusted and be distant from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Enough is enough. We have to stop this drought. And this drought will only stop once we lower ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We humble ourselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We stop being arrogant. And we understand there is no reason for anyone in this gathering, and I speak to myself first and foremost, to become mutmain and have contentment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no right to punish me on the day of judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالْعَاجِزُ مَنْ أَتْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ الْأَمَانِ The foolish person is the one who has high hopes of Allah. And, you know, hopes that Allah will give this, Allah will give that, when our actions don't add up to it. The scholars of the past, they would read the ayat of the Quran, they would cry. They would look at the fire. There's a narration from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, if I'm correct, or Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, one of the two companions. He was walking past a blacksmith, and he was beating metal. And he stood there and started crying. And one of his companions asked him, what brings tears to your eyes? He said, this will happen to me on the day of judgment, if I don't fix myself today. Constantly worried, constantly in concern. You don't find Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu wearing a shirt, walking around Medina Munawwara, hashtag first to go to Jannah. Even though he was promised by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Jannah more than one occasion. How many times? Because it was a concern. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, when he appoints Umar radiallahu anhu as Khalifa, against Umar radiallahu anhu's desire. When he appointed Umar radiallahu anhu Khalifa, Umar radiallahu anhu came to Abu Bakr and he complained, you appointed me Khalifa when I don't want to be Khalifa. And Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu responded back to him by saying, if you wanted to be Khalifa, I would have never made you Khalifa. So come close and listen very carefully to me. Abu Bakr was in the final illness of his lifetime. And he said to him, Umar, be fearful of Allah. He's saying this to the person who he's appointing him as Khalifa. He said, be fearful of Allah. To the point that if someone told you that only one person will enter into the... be fearful of Allah to the point that if someone were to tell you that everyone is entering into Jannah except for you, you fear that you are the one person who isn't going into Jannah. And be hopeful of Allah. Be hopeful in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. To the point that if someone were to tell you that everyone is being sent to the fire of hell, but for one person, you have hope in Allah that you are that one person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that you know that your Rahman, your Rahim won't punish you because your heart has loved Him. And the heart that has a love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it will not be roasted and burnt in the fire of hell. But at the same time, you're concerned that what if I fall short? What if I fall short? I've seen this. Communities that are religious, people that are religious, they feel that they can take the back seat on certain ibadat. I noticed this. There was a time I spoke to one of my friends, I said to him, that whenever I go to a community that's more conservative, more religious, and I do a fundraiser there, no one gives anything. It's as if they're in itminan, that I don't need to give any sadaqah, my jannah is set. You know, I have my beard, inshallah, that's my jannah. I pray my salah, that's my jannah done. And you go to a community that may not be so practicing, people give, they give, they give. It's as if these people have become content, and this crowd right here is constantly worried, what if we made a mistake? So these people, even though they've become the forerunners, they become lazy towards the end. And these people, even though initially they may not be the forerunners, but that constant concern, like the hadith said, had you not sinned, Allah would remove you and bring a nation that would sin. So they would constantly be worried. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches us where he said, even I don't know what my fate will be if it isn't for the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I want to close off this discussion that we've been having over the past few days with a brief few points. Because the question now is that how do I build this softness in my heart? How can I bring tears to my eyes? And as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala describes it, how do I actually end this drought? How do I start crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So for that, there are a few points of scholars they recommend. The first thing they say, if a person finds their heart to be really solid and hardened, and they can't cry as a result of it, the first thing you need to do is you need to increase the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Verily through the remembrance of Allah, do hearts seek contentment. That's why you'll find the old people of our community, they're always doing dhikr, and they're always crying in front of Allah when they're making their dua. Keep doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As your heart softens, you'll notice that your eyes will also soften, inshallah al-aziz. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you that tear that will testify for you on the day of judgment. The second thing the scholars, they say, build a relationship with the Qur'an. Because reading the Qur'an, reflecting over the Qur'an, will soften your heart. As I quoted yesterday, the verse of Surah Ma'idah, وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَىٰ أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمْءِ. That when they heard the verses of the Qur'an being revealed, that were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they started crying. Sit down and reflect over the ayat of the Qur'an. And trust me, for every person there is an ayat that strikes their heart, you will find your ayah too. If you tell me as a Muslim today that you don't have your favorite ayah of the Qur'an after living in Islam for 40, 50, 60 years, you haven't read the Qur'an yet. This is the state of the Muslim ummah today. If you ask them, what's your favorite ayah of the Qur'an, they have no idea. Because there is no relationship with the Qur'an. That same person has a favorite ice cream, by the way. That same person has a favorite car, by the way. They have a favorite restaurant. They have everything favorite. But when it comes to the Qur'an, there's no favorite. I haven't interacted with the Qur'an. You look at the Sahaba, they had their ayah. They would say, when I read this ayah, every time tears come to my eyes. When I read the ayah, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِأَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ. My heart cracks open because I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most just judge. And if He judges me on the day of judgment, I will be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So read the Qur'an. Find your verse that connects with you. There was one sister, she called me once from England. She had some sort of an issue. And her story was very interesting. At the end of it, she says that, you know, I made this big mistake in my life I shouldn't have made. I went to the ISOC, that's what the MSA is called in England, the Islamic Society. She said, I went to the MSA, they had a little musalla there at the university. I opened up a Qur'an, and she said, I hadn't touched the Qur'an in so long since I joined college. I just messed up in life. I lost my way. So she said, I sat down, I picked up the Qur'an, and I opened the Qur'an, I put my finger on the first verse that I opened the page to, and she said, right there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Oh, my servants who've wronged themselves, don't become despondent of my mercy. She said, I read that ayah and I sat there and I cried and cried and cried. It's as if I needed someone to talk to me, and I opened the Qur'an, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took a hammer and hit me right on my heart. That don't give up on me. Keep coming to me, I will keep giving you. Read the Quran, build a relationship with the Quran. The third thing, avoid sins. Because every time you commit a sin, it leaves a dark spot on your heart. Until you continue to sin and your heart is covered in darkness, which then leaves you in a spiritually void place. As I recited to you yesterday, the ayah of Surah Mutaffifin, كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. The hearts have rusted as a result of our sins. Learn to stay away from sins, cut them down. The fourth thing, don't be content with where you are in life. Desire more. Desire more closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't feel comfortable thinking that I've done so much in my life already, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely give me Jannah. Because you never know where you're going to be until you actually leave the world. Until your books are not closed, you don't know what the next line is going to be. And there isn't a person in this gathering who can be content and say that I will definitely die on iman. No one knows that. So why not continue asking Allah, Ya Allah, give me death on iman. Ya Allah, give my children death on iman. Ya Allah, be happy with me on the day of judgment. Keep trying to grow. Keep trying to grow. And the last thing, which is the most powerful thing, as the scholars, they mention, make it a habit to have a daily reflection over death. Al-haakum at-takathur hatta zurtum al-maqabir. Your desire for abundance will crush you until you visit the graveyard. Because when you go there, you'll realize that the people in these graves yesterday were in the streets. And they were young, they were playing sports, happy people in their career, married, children, businesses, big homes, 8-bedroom, 7-bedroom. They had the same thing that I had. The only difference is time. Their time came, they left, my time is today, I'm here. Tomorrow my time will come, someone will carry me to the on their shoulder to their graveyard, and I'll leave this world. And when I leave this world, how will my receiving be? Will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send angels with bouquets and in beautiful garments with beautiful fragrance to receive me while they read the ayat of the Quran? أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّ إِرْجِعِي إِلَىٰ رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَّ فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي. Or will angels come with an appearance that will be displeasing and they will be angry? And when they take my soul out of my body, they will say, oh crooked man, oh crooked lady, it's time for you to return to your Lord that you were in denial in. Remember this. If you've prepared yourself to meet Allah, there's nothing to be afraid of. But it requires preparation. And the greatest preparation you can do is keep a place in your heart where you have love for your Creator, your Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't let anyone ever occupy that place in your heart. It's for Allah. And I close with one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one of my favorite narrations, and I share this narration with you today. Man ahabba liqa' Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. Whoever loves to meet Allah, whoever's heart longs to meet Allah, know that your Allah is waiting to meet you too. Know that your Allah loves and is waiting to meet you. Wa man kariha liqa' Allah, kariha Allahu liqa'ahu. And whoever has no desire to meet Allah, then let that person know your Lord has no interest in seeing you either. Your Lord is not in need of you. You and I are in need of the love, forgiveness, mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, I close by reminding us all, let this Ramadan be the Ramadan where that one sincere tear comes out of the eyes, out of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As the Urdu poet said, "Aansuwo ki zubaho meri tarjuma." My words are now lost, Ya Allah, I can't speak. I'm a sinner, I'm a criminal, I have nothing to say in front of you. But let my tears speak of what I brought in front of you today, Ya Allah. My tongue has stopped, but my tears, they tell you, Ya Allah, the love, the fear, the concern that this heart has, Ya Allah, for you. I ask that you forgive us all. Ya Allah, shower your mercy upon this gathering. Soften these hearts. Let these eyes flow in love for you, Ilah al-Alameen. Allow these eyes to cry in your love and never ever let them go dry again. Ya Allah, our hearts are wet. They are hungry. They are hungry for your love, Ilah al-Alameen. Shaitan has casted his magic upon us, his spell upon us, Ilah al-Alameen. Without your mercy, there is no way we can remove these shackles from our arms and our legs, Ilah al-Alameen. We raise our hands in front of you and we ask that you liberate us from the spell of Shaitan. You soften these hearts. Lower these necks and allow us to be humble and prostrate in front of you for as long as we live. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.